Again today in South Korea, the finance ministers and central bankers will be taking aim at cutting deficits without hampering growth. A plummeting euro and a shaky stock market brought on by fears that Greece's debt problems could spread to other eurozone countries has added urgency to the meetings. U.S. Treasury Secretary Timothy Geithner says it's a shared imperative that all recognize. For more news and analysis, log on to IRNUSANews.com.
Worship and Warfare, Holy Places and In His Hands. Three praise and worship CDs now available through Voice of Many Waters Ministry. Call 1-800-205-6245 or check it out on the web, www.voiceofmanywaters.org. Each CD is $15 plus $3.50 shipping and handling. Call 1-800-205-6245 or www.voiceofmanywaters.org.
We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, to ordain and establish this Constitution.
The American Freedom Network is not funded or supported by special interest groups or government programs. The American Freedom Network is not sponsored by advertisers demanding content or programming control. The American Freedom Network is solely funded by you, the listener. Please help keep the American Freedom Network on the air by purchasing one of our sponsors' fine products or by calling 1-800-205-6245 to make a donation. The American Freedom Network needs your help. The Beth Messiah Congregation invites you to come and experience a Messianic Roots, biblically based congregational fellowship as we observe God's Shabbat in Messiah Yeshua. Praise and worship services begin at 10:30 a.m., followed by an Oneg Shabbat meal, Midrash, and fellowship. Beth Messiah Congregation is located at 8333 Acoma Way in North Denver. You can find out more information by calling 1-800-205-6245. Everyone's welcome, so join us this Shabbat. And Shabbat Shalom, good Sabbath.
Well, good morning. I'm Dan here at the American Freedom Network, and we're entering some very difficult times. The attention of the world is focused on Israel because of the course of their confrontation with certainly this flotilla that was trying to break the sanctions, the barrier, the embargo that Israel had on taking weapons into Gaza. And of course, there is a very conscious effort to smuggle rockets and other military supplies into Gaza, and of course Israel has to protect itself. It would be illogical for them to allow them to smuggle the rockets into Gaza. Certainly in the past, why first the Israelis were promised peace if they'd simply evacuate Gaza and turn it over to the Palestinians. You could have peace, so they actually at bayonet point forced the settlers out of Gaza and sent them back to Israel, promising to give them homes. Of course, they don't have any homes. These people formerly living in this area were prosperous, had beautiful homes. They were a major source of food, of flowers for both Israel and for all of Europe. And, of course, turning it back over to the Palestinians. Instead, of course, developing the area for the Palestinians, they used it as a basis for firing rockets into Israel. And so Israel, of course, has to protect itself. It would only be logical. So they put up, of course, an embargo so you couldn't bring supplies into Gaza. And, of course, there was no way the ships were going to stop to be inspected. But that is not the major concern. With us this morning is John Quirk. And John has worked for many years within the intelligence agencies. He's retired at the present time, but he has contacts all over the world and is a great source of information. And, of course, as we look and see what's happening in the Near East, we also have to look and see what's happening in the Middle East as far as Iran is concerned. And certainly there is a very real concern that Iran might do a preemptive strike on Israel, and Israel has a concern, and they may do a preemptive strike on Iran. And to bring us up to date on what's really happening and the information you're not getting, through regular channels. I've asked John to be with us because he has contacts over there. In fact, he'll be leaving here very soon to spend the summer over in Europe. And anyway, John, why don't you give us the background of the latest developments on this relationship and the very real threat of a war in the Middle East?
Well, good morning. Yeah, to start, really, Turkey and Hamas have won this situation with the flotilla. And backing up, Turkey was really looking for an excuse to break relations with Israel. They had a good relationship for many years. Israel supplied weapons. Over 400,000 tourists, Israeli tourists, go to Turkey. But if you remember, several years ago, Islamic fundamentalists took over Turkey. Several months ago, I don't think it was even several months, there was a purge of the political leadership and the secular political and military leadership in Turkey. The Islamic group is now definitely in control. They were looking for an excuse to completely break off Israel. They were the only Muslim country, a secular country, that really had good relations with Israel. So they wanted this independently of whatever could happen with Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran. The second thing is, as you know, Turkey and Brazil signed an agreement for reshipping so-called weapons-grade uranium back and forth, peaceful uranium for weapons-grade uranium. So that was a move by the Turks. This recent move by the Turks gives them an excuse to isolate Israel more. It gets them off the hook with their neighbor Iran and other Islamic countries. And it gives a great propaganda value to Hamas. And what's basically happened is that even though this is tough for Israel in terms of an international geopolitical crisis, I'm talking about the flotilla, basically what it is, it's the fact that the Israelis would rather be isolated internationally than either give in to the Palestinians or give in to Hezbollah or Hamas or Iran. In fact, recent Israeli foreign policy, because of a number of factors, is becoming even more hardline. And that basically, a summary of that hardline is they're going to block all shipments into Gaza. They've got to completely neutralize any chance of weapons going into Gaza. They're trying to start a military option and plan against Hezbollah, because Hezbollah has been tremendously reinforced, as you know, Stan, with missiles. And then this preemptive strike theory could lead the way not only to attacking Iran, but to expanding the war in the Middle East. Let me just back up a little bit. Both Israel and Iran and Hezbollah are worried about what you said, that their adversary would do a preemptive strike. Thus, all are planning to strike first. Rumors are that hostilities may even start in 2 to 3 weeks, that there is no diplomacy going on. There's nothing that the UN can do. There's nothing that the United States can do. Now, we've talked about Hamas's, you know, trying to outflank Israel with weapons and more tunnels, Hezbollah building up more missiles, Iran worried about their own domestic situation, and the old tenet in foreign policy, nothing unites a country like an outside aggressor, so Iran may want that. But the other reason, besides Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran, is that America's foreign policy, especially Obama's national security policy, has really failed. I have never seen in the last 60 years, and I've studied national security my entire career, such a disingenuous, skewered, divisive national security policy as Mr. Obama's. Mr. Obama at one time tells Jewish American leaders that he definitely supports Israel, and at the same time, over the last 2 to 3 days, he's hit Israel on the head, and he tells them not to take any military action, and yet we're moving more and more forces into the Middle East. So it all goes back to Obama's failure in negotiating with Iran. As soon as he got into office, he offered the Iranians dropping the sanctions, unfreezing their billions of dollars, even giving them oil technology, dropping any kind of blockade, even though he was going ahead with sanctions with the UN, tougher sanctions which haven't been executed.
Hold up, Iranians. We'll be back here in just a moment.
Seven years ago, when my uncle started the Patriot Trading Group, gas was 75 cents a gallon. We were running an alleged budget surplus, and the total national debt was $5 trillion, and the government was forecasting the debt would be eliminated by 2010. And I thought my uncle was a wacko with tinfoil on his head. Well, I owned tech stocks certain to become a millionaire before the millennium rolled over. Since then, the debt has doubled, jobs are heading overseas, and 100,000 people have joined Eric with tinfoil on their heads. I'm Joe Jaquin, Vice President for the Patriot Trading Group, and as gold and silver have doubled and even tripled during the first 11 years, the issues facing this country over the next 11 years look far worse. Call the Patriot Trading Group at 800-951-0592. We offer all forms of gold, silver, platinum, and palladium, shipped and delivered at the most competitive prices in the country. Call us, 800-951-0592, or check out our website at allamericangold.com. And remember, you don't need to have tinfoil to own gold and silver.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just power from the consent of the governed. This is the America News Network.
Sick of playing the guessing game with your vitamins?
Ground ball, right side, Cabrera will cut it off. Galarraga covers. He's out. No, he's safe. He is safe.
Look no more because you found Bio Superfood, the next generation.
He is safe at first base.
100% natural Bio Superfood packs all your essential proteins, vitamins, minerals,
and here comes Jim Leland.
And one of your special forces you need for looking new. Call Bio Age at 877-288-9116, 877-288-9116.
Jim Joyce said he was safe at first base.
And here, the American Freedom Network, I guess, is voting John Kirk and
Galarraga
on what's going on now.
John, he missed the base. He's out.
The administration.
Why is he safe?
He mustn't miss the base.
Into the Middle East.
Are you kidding me?
I think
he's safe.
Carrier task forces, carrier groups that are being moved into that area. But he was simply saying that when Obama first came into power, why he made certain concessions, or at least tried diplomacy with the Iranians. You pick up the story there, John.
Well, the two building blocks of Obama's failure in the Middle East were the opening of giving too much to the Iranians right away. They saw this as a sign of American weakness in diplomacy. The second one is that for years, and more recently months, the Israeli government has been saying that the Lebanese government should disarm Hezbollah, that Hezbollah was building up in many, many categories, not just rockets, and that war could be inevitable if the balance of power shifted. What Obama has done is support the Lebanese government, and the Lebanese government has done nothing against Hezbollah. So those two failures of American national security strategy have caused a catalyst for Israel to become even more paranoid and more aggressive. And going back to the whole concept of political fallout because of the Turkish flotilla problem, the fact that there's no diplomacy has accelerated the preparations for war, okay, on all sides, okay? Just 2 days ago, Israelis living in the United States were called into all the consulates and the Israeli embassy in the USA to discuss the Turkish ship affair and the potential war in the region. And basically what the consul generals and the ambassadors told key Israelis living in the United States who were in touch with, Jewish supporters and lobbyists is that they would rather have international disdain than have all of these forces, Hamas, Turkey, Iran, Hezbollah, and Syria against them. So what's happened now is that, almost like the guns of August in World War One, that these rumors that hostilities may start earlier have called in several scenarios of preemptive strike theories, both on the parts of Iran and Israel. In addition, if you wanted to add something more, Obama's inconsistency of supporting Israel, not supporting Israel, supporting Lebanon against Israel, not moving fast enough on the sanctions, being in conflict with Congress on their sanctions, and ordering U.S. naval forces to back in the Gulf, has confused everybody. It's confused Lebanon, it's confused the Israelis, our allies, and it's given energy to Hezbollah and Hamas. Now, what Hezbollah, there's a lot of intelligence that's been gathered which people don't know. Hezbollah, with the aid of Iranian military officers, they have a plan to strike at Israel. They have a plan to attack Israeli nuclear facilities in Dimona, attack Israel military headquarters in Tel Aviv, and try to wipe out Israel oil refineries. Israel also has a contingency plan, and it's based on the whole preemptive strike theory, and it's been pretty open. I mean, the Israelis even told the Iranians what they were going to do, and what Israel is planning to do, which is a little different than initially attacking Iran now, because they're so worried about some of the international disdain. They're going to institute very soon a total maritime blockade against Syria and against Hamas, and they're probably going to attack bridges, highways, railways, and any kind of smuggling route along the Syrian border. They want to take out Hezbollah ammunition dumps, and almost they're forcing Iran to come in to the aid of Hezbollah. So these little scenarios that are starting have not been able to be quelled by any kind of diplomacy. There's a tremendous lack of diplomacy in the area on all sides, Iran, America, Israel. And Israel has basically decided to take military action before Hezbollah gets stronger, before Iran gets closer to having actual nuclear warheads. They probably have enough now, my sources tell me, for two or three. So they feel that attacking an ammunition dump in Syria that houses thousands of rockets is in their best defense.
Well, of course, the implications are you start a war, you never know how it's going to end. But certainly, if there were to be hostilities in that area, we're moving a number of our carrier groups in. Obviously, our leaders know something is coming. The American people, of course, don't know, but the Navy, you don't move three or four carrier groups into the Arabian Sea and the Persian Gulf simply because you want to burn up a lot of fuel. Anyway, certainly if there were hostilities over there, what would the implications be as far as the flow of oil through the Straits of Hormuz? And of course, that oil is very important for Europe. Europe would be devastated if it couldn't get oil. We can survive. We get our oil from Venezuela and from Nigeria and from Canada, but what would happen as far as cutting off the oil supplies?
Well, I think from not only a shortage standpoint, which you're right, would take a while. China actually is awash with oil. They've built up their reserves. They have huge reserves. They have huge guarantees from Nigeria now, from the Middle East, and from Venezuela. It would probably, more than just create an immediate oil shortage, it would probably tank our stock market. It would send Europe probably into a deeper recession, possibly even a depression. It would cause great problems with Japan and their recovery. And another thing about the U.S. Navy, which people should start to pay attention to, we're also moving a huge battleship group to Asia because of the North Korean situation. I mean, we're talking about the carrier George Washington, possibly a backup carrier, battleships, submarines, in anticipation that the North Koreans might not only do something about South Korea, but use the Middle East thing to gain some points We're also, I understand, moving more very sophisticated Arleigh Burke destroyers from Southcom and CENTCOM down around Venezuelan waters, because we don't know what that crackpot is up to, because he's an ally of Iran. And he's increased tremendous anti-Semitism within Venezuela. So we're in the early stages. I don't think it's a pretext by war on Israelis' part. I think the Israelis have become so fearful of being somewhat abandoned by the Obama administration, fearful of the increase of power of Hezbollah, of the international community trying to make Hamas a victim, and so on and so forth, that what it's done, it's created a unbelievable warrior military mentality in Israel. They don't care. They feel that their officials in Israel are saying that they don't want to initiate anything, but they're looking for some kind of probably trigger that Hezbollah will get involved with, and then the conflict will start probably with airstrikes against Hezbollah, a greater blockade, and they'll force Syria, the Lebanese army, and Iran to take some kind of action.
The Israelis are beginning to disperse their supplies, because, of course, having all your nuclear weapons and your military weapons in just a few sites, it would be so easy to wipe those out with missile strikes from Hezbollah. That Israel is actually beginning to distribute their military supplies and other supplies across the country, so they're not well localized. And certainly, you know, with one or two major airports, you could certainly knock out those airports, fill the runways full of holes, and you wouldn't be able to get your planes in the air. So you almost have to strike first.
Yeah, and the other thing is that the Israelis, it really shows the failure of international diplomacy. The United States has not really been aggressive with the Mitchell plan in the Mideast. They just sent George Mitchell back to the Mideast, but he really has no mandate to really move ahead with the Palestinians. This recent flotilla thing and the Turkey-Brazil thing with weapons-grade uranium is really outmaneuvered any kind of chance of peace with the Palestinians. Palestinians are demonstrating all over the world against Israel, supporting now Hamas, not just Fatah. And there's no diplomacy on the part of the Americans. Diplomacy has failed with Iran. Diplomacy has failed with Syria. We're in a bad position, the United States, now with our old ally, Turkey. They've moved more and more into the Islamic camp. And the United States is really caught between a rock and a hard place. Israel seems the only one to be focused on, you know, telling the truth, and that means that they have to engage in military action to stop Hezbollah, Iran, and at the same time Hamas and the shipments from international aid groups. Another thing is that some of the people on those flotillas were both American, German, and Italian radicals left over from the 60s. William Ayers, a former friend of Obama, was on the ship. Bernardine Dorn, who was a Weather Underground revolutionary who calls for the overthrow of America, was on the ship. So it was all planned. It was planned by the Turks and Hamas to embarrass and suck in the Israelis, which they did, cause an international incident, which will be minor compared to the type of war we're going to see in Lebanon against Hezbollah, and God forbid if there's a larger war between Iran and Israel.
Well, of course, you know, we did not hear that here. I had not heard that William Harris or Bernadette Dorn were there. But obviously this was very well planned. This whole flotilla incident was carefully orchestrated to get an Israeli response to justify, of course, international outrage against Israel. Now, certainly if Israel does strike Iran, and Iran would certainly retaliate and anyway against Saudi Arabia or any of the other countries over there, wouldn't we be forced into the war?
Well, what we would try to do is try to, probably the first thing Obama administration would do, which we've done before, even during the Bush administration, is that once there's a full-scale attack and war, everybody, the Europeans, the EU, and the Americans, will call for a ceasefire. Most ceasefires have been ignored by Israel until Israel achieves their objectives. They talk about the ceasefire, they delay the ceasefire, and they don't enter into a ceasefire until their objectives are met. And the last time they attacked Hezbollah, they really didn't complete all their objectives. It was a 34 or 35 day campaign, and they really didn't succeed in really destroying Hezbollah. It's a different story now. The hardliners, if you will, and most of them are in Israel now, are saying we must completely eliminate Hezbollah. And that, let me tell you what else that means. It along with their preemptive strike policy, which is also a kind of a clone of Bush's original policy after 9/11, they mean they're going to also wipe out the leadership of Hezbollah, their financial infrastructure. They're going to go after all of their ammunition dumps, command centers all through Lebanon and Syria if it's necessary, all their commercial assets overseas, all their strongholds, their schools, and everything. It's not just a matter of wiping out the 45,000 rockets. They want to completely destroy Hezbollah, and then they'll be able to neutralize them, Hamas, put the Palestinians in their place, because I'm not sure the Israelis want peace with them anymore. And then at the same time, the odd man out will be Iran and Syria. What will Syria do, and what will Iran do? That's what the United States is worried about.
Well, I think the Israelis have warned Syria that if there's a war, that there will be a regime change there. In other words, basically the people who are in charge, the president of Syria, my understanding is he's a Shia Muslim, and the majority of people over there are Sunnis. And if there's a war, why, probably the Sunnis will rise up and overthrow the leaders there in Syria. Well, we're in difficult times. We'll be back in just a moment. Our number is 1-877-725-4725. Give us a call if you'd like.
Zabel Construction is a family-owned and operated business. They're able to handle the big jobs and the small ones, from additions and remodels to decks and drywall. Over 45 years of combined experience, they're reliable and trustworthy. For a free estimate, email them at zabelconstruction@hotmail.com. That's Z-A-B-E-L construction@hotmail.com, or call Mark at 303-579-5325. Licensed and insured, Zabel Construction.
Tax problems, IRS notices, credit card debt? Get professional help from local attorney Chelsea Victor at 303-702-0591. The Law Office of Chelsea Victor provides affordable, compassionate, and professional representation. Call today for a free initial consultation. The Law Office of Chelsea Victor, redefining legal representation one client at a time. That's 303-702-0591, 303-702-0591.
If catastrophe struck, would your family be prepared? Are you confident you wouldn't react in a panic? Is there one place to get all of your emergency supplies? Ferris Survival encourages you to have confidence through preparation, not panic through crisis. Ferris Survival, located at 3366 South Broadway, is a professional, reputable, full-service business providing quality, realistic preparedness supplies at an affordable price. Go online, stop by, or call 303-781-0343. Ferris Survival.
We're talking today with Tom Phillips, founder of The Green Herb. Tom, what makes The Green Herb different?
First is our health analysis. I know of no other company that will take the time necessary to suggest an in-depth herbal program especially for you. And we do it at no charge or obligation. Also, we manufacture all of our products right in the Wheat Ridge facility. This way we can assure you that you're getting the highest quality product available. Last is our guarantee. If you don't think our products are the finest, most potent herbal products available, just return the bottle and we'll exchange it or refund your purchase price. We can do the analysis at The Green Herb, over the phone, or online at www.thegreenherb.com. Call today and set an appointment for your free health profile at 888-765-HERB. That's 888-765-4372. Or come by our store on the north side of I-70 Frontage Road, 1 mile west of Kipling.
We the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America.
Well, good morning, Dr. Stan. Our guest this morning, John Quirk, who has us at the contacts all throughout that area. You just got
thanks
back,
for your interest in Logos Bible Software's so video tones for learning to use biblical Hebrew and Greek language resources for your personal Bible study and sermon preparation.
Oh, well, our telephone number if you
when
have questions.
People discover that we're creating these lessons, they're actually curious as to why we're making
877-254-7524. 877-254-7524, but unfortunately, our attention is being focused on the oil spill down in the Gulf, on Tiger Woods, on certain of the upcoming golf tournament that's going to be held here in the Monterey Bay area, and, of course, on the Soccer Cup in South Africa, and yet, of course, the real problems that face the entire world and can change the world in which you live are unfolding in the Near East and the Middle East today, and most people are totally unaware. And certainly the shift in alliances between Israel and Turkey, it has only happened really with very, very recently within the last few weeks or few months. This is going to entirely change the alignment in that area, part of the world, because Turkey now is lining up with Iran in opposition to Israel. And, of course, we can thank the fact that the government over there has shifted from being secular to become radical Islamic. And somebody has somehow or other engineered the total change in the structure of Israel as far as the religious involvement. So I think this is really a major event, don't you, John?
Yeah, the other thing, you're talking about the Islamic influence in Turkey, and their, as I mentioned, their excuse to break off relations with Israel. People forget that one-third of the Lebanese government and most of the Lebanese army, and I have former students from students of mine who were Lebanese intelligence officers, one-third of their government is Hezbollah. And Hezbollah is trying to infiltrate in getting the Lebanese army on their side if there are hostilities. In other words, Israel would not only have to face Hezbollah, but the Lebanese army, their equipment, and Syria. And see, one of the problems in the Middle East, and I go back to Obama's weakness in originally dealing with them and all of his almost pro-Muslim stance. I'm not saying, you know, that all of what Obama's doing is wrong, but just the other day, they made everybody in the U.S. government stop using the phrase extreme Islamic fundamentalism and jihad. You know, it's which we've been using going back into the 1970s, okay, in anti-terrorism language. So there's a perception, even among our adversaries, that, I mean, it's wrong, but there's a perception that Obama is tilting towards the Muslim world. A lot of the things that he's done lately are very inconsistent. I mean, you know, Biden will give a speech saying he's very, very pro-Israel, and then Obama will come out and say something that he's almost pro-Muslim, or we have to stop castigating certain Muslims, and so on and so forth. What that has done to dictatorships in Iran, in Syria, and the dictatorships in Hamas and Hezbollah is energize them. They either see a weakness in our foreign policy, they see a lackadaisical, laissez-faire attitude, especially when Obama ordered most of our naval forces out of the Gulf. They see that there's a vacuum there. And when you have a vacuum, both in foreign policy and national security policy, two different things, foreign policy and national security policy, two different things, enemies, dictators, whether you're in North Korea or Chavez or Iran, take that as an opportunity to chip away. And if you look at it, look what Iran's done in the last year. They've accelerated their research on nuclear plants. They've made a deal with Turkey and Brazil on exchanging weapons-grade uranium for peaceful uranium. I mean, those are all bad things. Everything like that raises the paranoia of Israel. And all of my friends, all of them, whether it's Israeli intelligence, military, or political leaders, they really are disappointed in Mr. Obama. They wish that he would have been stronger. I mean, he's the leader of the free world. He doesn't even confer with or ally himself with Europeans who want to stop Iran or enter into new diplomacy. He's like given up on all of that. You know, we appointed Holbrooke, Dennis Ross, Mrs. Clinton, others in the National Security Policy Making Group, General Jones and others, and even two of the left-wing advisors to Obama, Rahm Emanuel and Axelrod. They've all backed away from doing anything with Iran. It's like they're afraid of offending the other Muslim nations, but I don't really know what their motivation is. Possibly just lack of statesmanship and experience. And what that does, it gave the Nazis an advantage when England backed away at Munich. It gave the Japanese an advantage when we backed away from sanctions against Japan when they invaded China. It gives dictatorships an advantage over democracies. So what happens there, that can lead to a war. And everybody is blaming Israel, everybody is isolating Israel, but these other countries, which are completely undemocratic, that almost want a war, they're energized now. They believe they can win. Let me tell you what they believe in it. They can believe that they can outmaneuver the United States and push us out of the Gulf. They believe they can split us from Europe, and they believe that eventually Israelis will be driven into the sea. Now, I'm not saying that. The American government isn't saying that, but people in the Iranian leadership believe it. Hezbollah believes it. Hamas believes they're on the right side. And on the other side, look what Israel has to face. An uncertain power change in Egypt if Mr. Mubarak passes away. A buildup of military equipment by Hezbollah right on their border. Destabilization of the Lebanese government, which the United States now supports, constant people trying to run the blockade and slip in stuff to Hamas and giving Hamas a propaganda victory, which they got. I mean, everybody knows about Hamas now, and they feel sorry for them. So these things lead to war. And what I see, again, not just the political consequences or the buildup of military, the unbelievable failure of diplomacy. The UN doesn't seem to care. Of course, they've always been controlled by the Islamic countries, even though we fund them. The UN, Europe is scared. They're scared of oil. We're losing face with Japan. China's taking a leadership position in the world, just staying in the background. So it's the chipping away of American power, and we're doing it to ourselves.
And certainly, initially, as you pointed out, Obama moved all of our carriers out of the Persian Gulf. Now he's sending them back again. So, I mean, he's giving, obviously, mixed signals as far as the Iranians are concerned. How many carrier groups are we moving over into that area? Do you have any idea?
Well, some people have said five, but I've only heard two, three are moving in. The rest have all been taken out for, you know, servicing or moving into the different area. The George Washington Carrier Task Group, backed up by two others, is moving into Korean waters.
Hank, hold on there. We'll be back in just a moment with John Quirk here at the American Freedom Network.
Community Connections is proud to announce our 2010 Summer Baseball Camp, June 28th through July the 2nd, Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Sandstone Park, 3001 East Highway 119, Longmont. Ages 5 through 14 years old, boys and girls both welcome. For pre-registration or information, call 303-702-0588. Ask for Israel Victor, Camp Director. That's 303-702-0588. Community Connections 2010 Summer Baseball Camp. For the finest in home security, you want Fine Line Security, a family-owned business. They install, service, and repair any CCTV system, including DVRs. Free estimates are available. Free security evaluations, including existing systems, emergency repairs, and loaner equipment. Call Scott at 303-550-8202. They also have lease options available for CCTV security. Always professional, neat, and excellent workmanship. Home automation wireless solution for doors and driveways also available. 303-550-8202. Fine Line Security.
If catastrophe struck, would your family be prepared? Are you confident you wouldn't react in a panic? Is there one place to get all of your emergency supplies? Ferris Survival encourages you to have confidence through preparation, not panic through crisis. Ferris Survival, located at 3366 South Broadway, is a professional, reputable, full-service business providing quality, realistic preparedness supplies at an affordable price. Go online, stop by, or call 303-781-0343. Ferris Survival. Zabel Construction is a family-owned and operated business. They're able to handle the big jobs and the small ones, from additions and remodels to decks and drywall. Over 45 years of combined experience, they're reliable and trustworthy. For a free estimate, email them at zabelconstruction@hotmail.com. That's Z-A-B-E-L construction@hotmail.com, or call Mark at 303-579-5325. Licensed and insured, Zabel Construction.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here at the American Freedom Network, I guess this morning, John Quirk, and we're talking about the very real threat of war coming to the Middle East in a relatively short period of time. And believe me, one way or another, this is going to have a tremendous impact on our country. John is suggesting, of course, it would certainly crash the stock market in Europe, crash the stock market over here, and there'd be real serious consequences. And when you start, when a war starts, you're never exactly certain how it's going to end. And John was just saying that, as far as he can figure, there are three carrier groups moving over into the that area. What do we have? About six carrier groups at sea at any time? I know we have 12 or 14, something like that.
We have a total of 16 carrier task forces, and the ones that usually starting in 2006 that Reagan ordered to move in, President Bush, were the Eisenhower. Now we have the USS Theodore Roosevelt, the USS Ronald Reagan, which is like a stealth carrier, and the USS Iwo Jima, which is a smaller group, moving in with the Abraham Lincoln and U.S. Peleliu backing them up. They're all part of the Fifth Fleet operational base, and they can be anywhere from the Red Sea to the Persian Gulf. Okay, and they've been moved in and out over the last 4 years. Okay, 4 to 5 years. The Eisenhower group is moving to the Gulf, and we have at sea at any time about 10 carrier task forces. These can be projected. Our power can be projected anywhere in the world. I mean, if we sent two carrier task forces to North Korea, both of those, especially if one of them was the Reagan or the Bush, could take out most of the facilities in North Korea. I mean, that's how powerful they are. They're accompanied by intelligence ships, submarines, battleships, cruisers, and destroyers, okay? The information has been a lot of disinformation about what's going back into the Gulf. Because some of these carrier task forces that were, the report originally said five U.S. carrier groups were going into the Persian Gulf or headed towards it. And my sources say there's only really two of them, and they're pretty far away. They're around the Indian Ocean. So, they'd have a lot of steaming to do. But they would be moved back there anyway to protect the Saudi and Kuwaiti oil fields and the shipping lanes. And they'll probably be there. We would need about five to six of them to patrol everywhere from Kuwait down to the Emirates and Oman and keep the Gulf open if Iran gets involved, even though Israel may attack Iran sometime, if Iran retaliates after Hezbollah, the United States would have a preparation not only for defensive moves, but if there were any moves by the Iranian Navy, which they've done before, Air Force, the U.S. might use that almost like a Gulf of Tonkin to sink their Navy, back up Israel, and eliminate their Air Force. So I think President Obama will be pressured to do that. But right now, as we speak, there's tremendous efforts on the part of the United States government to restrain Israel. Tremendous pressure. Threats of cutting off aid, money, telling them to wait for sanctions on Iran, telling them to try to negotiate with the Lebanese government against Hezbollah, possibly ordering a naval blockade. But my sources say that because of the bad feeling that was originally there with Obama and Netanyahu, is that the Israelis feel totally abandoned. They don't trust the United States administration, and they're going to do what they have to do to eliminate, certainly, Hezbollah.
Well, we certainly would appear to be moving into very, very difficult times. And certainly, as far as Israel, just a tiny little nation, population, what about 7 million Israelis, taking on certainly almost the entire Islamic world. There is no way, logically, that they can survive, certainly, without a full support from the United States, is there?
No, they would be out of certain kinds of weaponry in about 30 days if it's a protracted conflict. And remember, they had a hard time taking Hezbollah out 2 or 3 years ago. It took them 35 days and they had to withdraw. They don't want to face that again. They want to they want to eliminate Hezbollah, its leadership, and all of its command centers in about 2 weeks. And they're not going to rely on the Air Force like they did before. They'll rely on a land invasion near the Litani River. They'll go in all the way to Lebanon. They'll take out the Syrian bases if they have to. They're very intent on trying to end this once and for all, certainly against Hezbollah and Hamas, which are within their borders almost, or on their borders, certainly near Lebanon. And then that would give them kind of a edge if Iran gets involved. They could say they did not attack Iran first. Iran came to the aid of Hezbollah. Iran would not want to lose face with Hezbollah. They would probably support them, but you never know. Nobody has a crystal ball about that. Right now, the Syrians are getting prepared for war, but they don't want it because their economy is doing very well, just like the Israeli economy. The Egyptian and the Turkish and the Iranian economies aren't doing that well. Certainly Europe is not doing that well. They don't want to see a war. They don't want to see oil blocked coming into them, especially with Russia hovering over them, extorting energy to them. So I think what you'll likely see is a preemptive strike by one side or the other in the next possibly few weeks. You'll see an effort for a ceasefire. That's the second, after Hezbollah has been basically marginalized. And then no one knows what Iran is going to do. The problem, and no one seems to talk about anymore, is Iranian nuclear activity. You see very few articles in the paper about it. Maybe you'll see an article about trying to get the UN to do more sanctions. You see very few articles or sources talking about the International Atomic Energy Commission. And you do see some talk about economic sanctions by the U.S., but Obama seems completely distracted. He can't seem to focus on Iran or the oil spill or the Arizona immigration issue or even parts of the economy.
And, well, we're out of time, John. God bless. Thanks so much, and we'll be talking to you real
soon.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thank you so much.
Bill of Rights, Article 1. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of a religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press, or the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. Article 2, a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed.
If cholesterol, high blood pressure, angina, atherosclerotic plaque, or stroke are a concern for you or your loved one, or you want to strengthen your heart, increase stamina, and promote overall cardiovascular health, then join the Heart Technology team. Heart Technology, Linus Pauling's recommended vitamin C therapies is the answer to your concern. Don't wait until it's too late. For more information and to order, call Dennett Daniels at 1-800-205-6245. Heart Technology, it's natural, it's effective, it's inexpensive, and it's guaranteed. 1-800-205-6245.
Jambalaya reminds listeners that each year many seniors are overlooked. Show how much you care this winter by offering a ride to a religious service, a trip shopping, or check and see if their heating system is up to par. Help protect our seniors and remember a senior today. That's Jambalaya's. Enjoy the specials listed on our complete menu. Open hours that are convenient, so stop by soon for a family treat. That's Jambalaya's, 109 Colorado Avenue in Marino. And mention this message for 10% off. Call ahead for large orders, 970-522-1117. Donna and staff love our elderly.
Whether you're in automotive, sporting goods, hardware, health, wellness, electrical, electronics, construction, carpet cleaning, legal, or animal care, and offer exceptional customer service and provide quality services or goods, you're honest, reliable, and professional. If you have a business, we have the customers. Let us put you in touch with our loyal, supportive, and dedicated listeners today. They're waiting to hear from you. It's inexpensive. It's effective. Call KHNC at 1-800-205-6245.
Well, Dr. Stan back here, and Stephanie, I hope you enjoyed our conversation with John. I think John is one of the most, Stephanie knows more about that area than most people, having spent his life in intelligence and having contacts with people all throughout the world. Now, before I would certainly bring him on as a guest, we've checked him out. We know his stories are accurate. We know people in Washington, D.C., who were with intelligence, who verify for the authenticity of what he's saying. And we're facing a very difficult time, but there's far more to this than most people understand. Certainly, Turkey now has joined the radical Islamic camp. Why? Well, there's a man named Gulen, G-U-L-E-N. You can look this up on the Internet, G-U-L-E-N, Gulen. And he's a multi-billionaire. And he is the one who's financing the shift of politics in Turkey to the radical jihadist camp. And where does Mr. Gulen live? Why, he lives in Pennsylvania. He has billions of dollars. Where did he get them? Why, he worked for years for the and with the Central Intelligence Agency. Why would the CIA want to destabilize Turkey and move it into the radical Islamic camp? Why are we always creating the best enemies money could buy? Where did Hamas come from? It was originally funded by the CIA and the Mossad. Doesn't make any sense. Nothing makes sense, ladies and gentlemen. We have a wonderful book that's called The Devil's Game. It goes into the background of the financing of this whole radical Islamic movement. And it's the old story, the best enemies money could buy. If you don't understand the background of the North Vietnamese war and their war on America, if you don't understand the background of who financed Russia, who the communist movement, who financed Adolf Hitler, you need to get my DVD, The Best Enemies Money Could Buy, my interview with Professor Sutton before he died, The Best Enemies Money Can Buy. And then let me suggest, of course, that you get my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, if you haven't read it. And then the book, The Devil's Game. That'll give you enough to do. That's The Best Enemies Money Could Buy DVD, although there is a book by that name. You can get it. But the DVD will give you the background of how American interests financed communism, because we needed an enemy, financed Adolf Hitler because they wanted a war, and how we financed the North Vietnamese, all during the Vietnam War. How do you think it was a little country the size of the state of Mississippi could oppose the greatest military force in the world, the United States, for 10 years, and then that great military force lost the war. Do you really believe that happened? No, of course it didn't happen. It was all staged. It was all political theater. And 58,000 American boys died for absolutely nothing. They were simply sacrificed as cannon fodder, as a great distraction, as America was changed, as they took God and prayer out of our schools. They centralized power in Washington, D.C., found that women had a right to abortion, undermined the moral fabric of our society. They knew exactly what they're doing, were involved in a spiritual battle, unless you understand that nothing as it appears to be. Why you can't understand anything at all, nothing really makes sense unless you understand there's a spiritual battle, there is a master plan, we're moving towards war in the Middle East. Our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Our webpage, radioliberty.com. You can watch our DVDs. You can watch our special YouTubes.